Thank you, Brother Lincoln. Good evening. It's good to be here with you again this evening and to share from God's Word. I was thinking while sitting there as the selections had been sung and the hymns that our brother had chosen, the message has already gone forth. We could close this meeting now and know that a challenge has already been issued tonight from the words of these songs and hymns that have gone forth. And I pray that we've been paying attention and listening to what has been sung and what has been said. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, in Psalm, the 42nd chapter, just the first two verses. Psalms 42, first two verses. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Sure, the Lord will bless His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word this evening. May Your precious Holy Spirit use it to bring forth fruit for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want us to think this evening for a little while on thirsting for God. Thirsting for God. This psalm speaks here about one of the most important elements in our lives. It speaks of water. We all know the results of becoming very, very thirsty. And we know that it's a known fact that we can live without food much longer than we can without water. We also know, because all of us have been thirsty at some time or the other in our lives, that satisfaction and that relief that we feel after we've taken a nice cool drink of water, it satisfies that longing within our lives, that need that we had, that thirst that we had, that water that we drank satisfied. Tonight, the psalmist David is writing here, and he joins together both the physical and the spiritual water. And he says that his soul, as the hart panteth after the brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He's talking about not the natural water of life, but he's talking about the spiritual water of life. The water that satisfies the soul of men that dwells within. The psalmist, I believe, as he writes this, his soul has been satisfied. The water of life that he speaks of is a spirit, the symbol of the Spirit of God, that he is fully well aware of in his life. He's gone through many difficult times and periods in his life. But now he is satisfied with that water that can only be found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart, he says as well, panteth after the water. And she becomes satisfied when she finds the natural water after a long search. But I wonder tonight, as you sit here and as we think, there are not many people on planet Earth who are searching, really searching, for that living water. For that water that can satisfy that longing in their soul. And the question tonight is, why aren't they searching? Why? And the answer is because They are seeking satisfaction. They're seeking the things and the contentment of this life. And this is so true. We see it all around in our world in which we live. Men and women, boys and girls, are seeking to satisfy their lives and the longings of their lives and their hearts with the things, the material things of life, from which they can find no real joy, no real peace, no real contentment, no real satisfaction in life. If you were to talk tonight to some of the most richest and most powerful men in all the world, they have all that they need. And yet, to be honest with you, they would say, no, I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. And beloved, this evening, they will never be satisfied, and you can never be satisfied, until you arrive at that moment in time in your life. When you come to that point in life where you've had it all, you've tried it all, you've seen it all, you've done it all, and then you realize that the answer to life is that only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy above all in life, no matter what it may be. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart and life as your personal Savior, you're not satisfied. You're not happy with your life. And we see it. We see it today more than ever before in the history of the human race. Men seeking pleasure. Men seeking knowledge, men seeking wealth, men seeking power. And they're still not satisfied. They have to go on and on and on and on because there is something, there is an element missing in their life that they cannot find. Even though they may have everything that they need in life. And only Jesus can satisfy. And until we arrive at that point in our lives, where we acknowledge this and we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives and make a difference, we will never be satisfied. We will never be satisfied. We will constantly be desperately thirsty. Thirsty for that which we know that we cannot find in the material things of life. That which we know that God hath in store for you and I. But that which we are so many times and so often in life unwilling to reach out and take hold of is free gift of life, the water of life. The water of life. You know, the Bible speaks of many thirsty people and their conditions of life. And tonight I want to share with you two of those people from God's Word. The first one is found in the fourth chapter of John. In the fourth chapter of John. And there we have a story of a woman. A woman whose life was empty. A woman who had sought all that she could in life and was still not satisfied. And she came to the well that day. And boy, did she have a story. She had a story to tell Jesus. He knew it already. Life had not treated her well. Everything had gone wrong in life. And her thirst was revealed by her many marriages. She had already been married 5 times. And I would vouch tonight that it wasn't all the fault of the man. It was because of the desperation in her life. It was because she could not be satisfied. It was because there was a thirst in her life. And her thirst was revealed. Even as Jesus said to her, No, I know that you've been married 5 times, and the one that you live with now is not your husband. Her soul was thirsting. She found no relief until that day that she came to that well, and sitting on that well was the answer to the problems of her life. And it's the same answer to the problems of your life and my life tonight. Jesus was sitting at the well. Jesus was there awaiting for her to come. That's what you and I need tonight more than anything in this life. We need the love of our families. We need the things of life to carry us on day after day, but more than anything in all of this world, and I trust that you have realized this in your life already, you need Jesus more than anything. More than anything. Because it is only He and He alone that can fill that vacancies in our lives, that can provide the satisfaction that we need to satisfy that soul that lives and dwells within. She was miserable, totally miserable, as she walked up to that well and she met Jesus. You know something? She didn't have to tell Jesus a thing. Not a word. He knew who she was. He knew the needs of her life. He knew what she had been searching for. He knew what she was missing in life. He knew it all. But thanks be to God, He listened and let her talk. Verse 17 and 18 of this passage of Scripture says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And she goes on to tell him all about her problems of life. He listened to her story. Beloved, tonight, if you can't find anybody to listen to you in this life, if you've tried everybody around you, no one seems to have the time for you. No one wants to listen to your story. They've heard it before. They have their own problems and difficulties in life. I assure you tonight, on the authority of God's Word, you come and He'll listen. You come and He will listen to your heart's cry. He wants you to come. He wants you to tell Him your need. He wants you to tell Him all of the difficulties of your life. Already, He already knows, but He wants you to come. Have a little talk with Jesus. And then listen at what He has to say. Listen at what He has to say. He said to her in a loving, tender voice, a voice that perhaps you and I have heard tonight. Those of us who have come to that water, to that fountain, and we've drank of that water and our thirst have been satisfied. We have heard that loving, tender voice that says, I can give you that living water that will quench your thirst forever, and you will never thirst again. Praise God. I can give you that living water that will quench your thirst forever, and you will never thirst again. I will guarantee you tonight, my beloved friend, that there is not one thing, one person, or any situation that you can come up with that can give you a guarantee such as that in your life. There is no one that can say to you, I can satisfy that longing in your life. I can meet that need in your life, whatever it may be. I can be with you when you go through the dark waters of life. I can be with you as you climb the mountains and as you walk the valleys. I'll be with you always. No one. Only Jesus Christ. He is the one that can bring a peace that passeth all understanding. And the only way that you tonight can realize and experience this in your life, as many of us have done, is to be willing to come to that fountain and drink of that water from that well that will never run dry. Never run dry. Oh, what a wonderful change took place in the life of this woman. When she listened at what this man had to say, and she saw the love in his face, she knew that this was a man different from any man she had ever seen. And she'd been through quite a few. He made a difference in her life. And she realized that here was someone that she could come to know, someone that could make a difference, a positive, positive difference in her life. And beloved, he did. He did. The Bible says that she went back to the men of the city. And I believe it was the same man, maybe those of her husbands. Perhaps they'd had some difficult times and difficult experiences. And she rushes back after this meeting with Jesus. And she says, come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, beloved? Yes. That's the man. That's the man that you need to talk to. That's the man that I need to talk to. That's the man that the entire world needs to talk to, because he's the only one that can make a difference in your life. The only one. We used to sing a little chorus when I was a lot younger, going to Sunday school, about this same story. It said, she went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that was not in the well. You see the difference it makes, my friend? When we talk to Jesus, when we come to know all about him, when we receive this water of life that he freely gives, when he makes that change in our hearts and lives that we cannot make. We've tried to make. We've turned over new leaves. We've tried every experience of life, and it makes no difference because we're still miserable in the end. Only Jesus can satisfy. Only Jesus, this man. She brought back others to the water that was not in the well. When we receive that water of life, we want to tell others about it. We want others to see the change that he's made in our lives. We want others to know, as the hymn writer writes, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus. Jesus, the one the choir has been singing about tonight. Since Jesus came into my heart. Beloved, it is only Jesus. The preacher can't change. Our husbands can't change us. Our wives can't change us. But only Jesus can change our lives to a point that we can be satisfied. To know true satisfaction. Another little chorus that we used to sing says, there is no satisfaction without salvation. And salvation can only be found not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. We have to come to Jesus. We can't get around it, my friends. If you want to go to heaven tonight, if you want to live with him throughout the countless ages of eternity, you've got to come to Jesus. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus, the qualified man that he was, said, do you mean that I have to be reborn of my mother? Jesus said, no, you must be born again, born of the Spirit, the living water of God. That's the way that I've been born again. That's the way many of you have been born again. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, that's the way that you have to be born again. You have to come. There is no other way. There is no other avenue. It is one way and one way alone, and that is to the one that provides a living water. Then secondly, there is another story, and this story is perhaps just the opposite of this one, and is found in Luke, the 16th chapter. This first one was a thirsty woman, and her thirst was satisfied. And she went away and told others and came back bringing others to the fountain of life. But this one is sad, really sad. There was a thirsty man in hell. There was a thirsty man in hell. The story is so very plain in the 16th chapter. This man tried to quench his thirst. You see, he had a thirst. We all have that thirst. And we have to satisfy it. He had a thirst, and he quenched his thirst with his riches in life, with the fine clothes of life. The scripture says in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 that there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. He had the best that life could afford. Everything in life. For that day in which he lived, he enjoyed it all. living lavishly. But just outside his gate there was a beggar. That beggar had nothing. That beggar would be fed by the crumbs that was thrown from the rich man's table. But I want to tell you something. That beggar had been to the fountain of living water, and he knew his well would never run dry. He knew that he had something that rich man did not have. He had Jesus, and as the hymn writer says, now that I have Jesus, I have everything. He was satisfied. The rich man wasn't. He was searching for his thirst in all of the ways that he possibly could, all of the things of his life. But one day, something went wrong. Something went wrong in the plans of this man's life. What could it be? The Bible doesn't say. Perhaps he was stricken with some illness. Perhaps he had a severe heart attack. But whatever it may have been, something went wrong. The rich man lost his wealth. The rich man lost his health. And the scripture says, he died. And he died. And sad to say, in this story, even after he died, he was still thirsting. He was still thirsting. The scripture says, in hell, he opened his eyes, being in torment. You see, he had never found that water of life that could satisfy that longing in his soul. The scripture says, when he found himself in hell, hell, my friends, whether you want to hear it or believe it or not, is a real place. Just as heaven is a real place where God lives, hell is a real place that the Bible says God has prepared for the devil and his angels, and it is going to be there for those that refuse to drink of the water of life that Jesus Christ has offered so freely by his death on the cross of Calvary. It's a real place. And the scripture says that he opened his eyes and he was in torment. And he looked across the catalyst, and there he saw who? Ah, the rich man, and the beggar. He didn't have much in life. He suffered through life. He went through the difficult times of life, but he knew Jesus. And beloved, that was worth it all. That was worth it all, because now the scripture says he finds himself comforted in Lazarus, in Abraham's bosom, but the rich man in torment in hell. And there is a great gulf fixed. Oh, beloved, there's no getting across. There's no getting away. Refusal to acknowledge God and go out into eternity speaks of total, total, total loss away from God, away from his love. Forever and ever and ever. The rich man, he opened his eyes. And he said to Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And listen at what he asked. Oh, listen at what he asked. He said, would you be kind enough? Please, please, Father Abraham, send Lazarus with a drop of water, 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 to cool my parching tongue. That's the water that he refused while he was yet alive. That's the water that he had the opportunity to grasp on, just as that beggar did. We all have the opportunity, my beloved. You have the opportunity even again tonight, if you have not yet drunk from that fountain of water, to drink, to come to drink of that water from that well that never, never, never shall run dry. He said, send me some water. He needed water. His tongue was parched and he was in torment. You see, in life, he never thought about God. He didn't have time for God. He didn't have time for the things of God or the people of God. But now he has the time, and he has a lot of time. Plenty of time, but sad to say, in the wrong place. In the wrong place with a parched tongue. And what does he want? Water, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, but it's too late. Oh, beloved, it's too late. And I beg of you tonight as I stand there, not for me. I had to make it right with God for myself, not for anybody else in this building tonight, but for you personally. You don't want to go to this place that he has gone to. Tonight you're still alive. Tonight you still have the opportunity. You can escape that wrath of God. You can escape hell. You can escape the judgments of God. But you need to come. You need to drink of that water. And you need to do it for yourself. You need to do it because you want to do it. You need to do it because you believe that Jesus Christ can change your life. You need to do it because you know you've tried everything else in life and nothing else worked. And tonight you're just as miserable as you've ever been in your life. And you need something in your life. Beloved, I can only say to you tonight, you need Jesus. You need to drink of that living water and never thirst again. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, we find these words, and it's an open invitation from God to all men everywhere. Let him that is thirsty come. Let him that is thirsty come. Take of the water of life freely. It's a living water, my friends. It's a life-saving water. It's a life-changing water. Whatever your life may be tonight, whatever condition it is in, I don't know. I don't know you. I don't know your life. Maybe your friends don't know your life. Maybe they don't know what you're going through in life. But I assure you tonight, as the woman at the well, Jesus knows. And he wants to change your life. And he's the only one that can do it. And as you sit here this evening, if you have any hopes of ever making heaven your home, of living with God throughout the countless ages of eternity, and it is inevitable, my friends, we are going someday. We're going someday. But the question is where are you going? Have you met Jesus as your Savior? Has your life been changed by his cleansing blood? Have you tasted of that water? He said, whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. It doesn't cost us anything, my friends. Living without him is going to cost you a whole lot more than living with him and for him. Living without him is going to cost you everything. But living with him and for him will cost you nothing. It's just a matter of making a decision in our lives, of making that commitment and saying, yes, God, just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. That's all that he asks. Simple. You don't have to get your checkbook. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. All you need to do is believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him. Drink of the water. And the Spirit of the living God will change your life. I know. I've seen it happen. It's happened in my life. I've seen it in countless others. And perhaps in many here in this service tonight. And if you too want to be a part of the family of God, yes, we have our problems. Yes, we go through difficult times in life. But I want to tell you something, that when we come to the end of life journey, if we've been to that fountain and we know Christ is our Savior, we're going to go home to be with the Lord. We're going to look in his smiling face. We're going to hear him say, well done. We will not be in a place where we're going to need water. Water to cool our parching tongues. Oh, beloved, tonight as I close, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Is your life a miserable life? Is your life one that you don't know where it's going? You ask yourself times, what am I living for? Oh, tonight, my friends, you can change that by coming to know Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Shall we pray? Shall we pray? I wonder tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there one that maybe God is speaking to you tonight, and you know that you need to drink from that fountain. You want to make heaven your home someday. Can I see your hand? I'll remember you in prayer. Is there one? Oh, my friend, don't delay. If you don't know Christ, if you've never been to that fountain, take an opportunity now. The Bible says now. Tomorrow may be too late. Is there one? Oh, God, our Father, this evening we have spoken that which you've laid in our hearts. Take your word, Lord. Use it, we pray, for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. Time is gone, but I'd like for us to sing just a verse of a closing hymn, number 273. Thank you tonight for coming. And if you need to talk to someone about the Lord, find someone that you know. Call me at any time. I'm at the apartment. Come there. Doesn't matter when. So we can be of some help in finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's sing. I think it's 273. Let's stand as we sing together. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come and I sin confessing, to him thy Savior bow. Just that first verse and chorus, and the service will be over. God bless you.